Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. A little bit late if you saw the 10 o'clock show. We'll move on. Loads to get onto. Was never not going to do a show this morning. Too many important topics to talk about. People need calling out. Lewis Hall deal potentially off. We're back talking about Tchouaméni again. There's a little bit on Alex Scott. Will we even sign a third midfielder? The striker situation looks dead and buried as well. Also, we'll be talking about these United fans who are basically applauding the burglars, as I would call them. Apparently, we should all be patient until the end of the window as well. Manchester United might be posturing. They might be being patient. So we should wait and see what happens. Yeah, you know, if you wait and see what happens when someone pushes you off a cliff, you're dead and you've got no, it's over. So, you know, maybe we should be resisting the push now before we're pushed off a cliff, you know? Maybe some of us are, right to shout out the issues within the club. Also, I think as well, you'll see Marcus Rashford on the thumbnail. I'm always opposed to blame Rashford because ultimately he wanted to leave Man United. But the cold, harsh fact at the moment is that if I'd said to you in May that Marcus Rashford would be our biggest signing of the summer, you'd have gone, what are you talking about? And yet Marcus Rashford is our biggest signing of the summer. We're paying him 325 grand a week. We haven't paid him a wage for 12 months. So technically he is. So lots to get into on the show this morning and lots of big opinion. No sweeping it under the carpet here. No glazerism. No pretending everything's rosy. In fact, The Athletic had it today that United's net spend is 50 million. I think that's generous. I actually work it out at more like 40. But Manchester United's net spend so far this summer is £50 million, which puts us about about level with Bournemouth and lower than Everton, Brentford and Ipswich for net spend this summer, which is shocking, isn't it? It's interesting as well. I want to delve into the headlines because it is a news show, but I also want to shout out, call out, expose the United fans that a year ago told us to stop moaning because we weren't in the Champions League and times were going to be hard. We are in the Champions League now and we're spending less than last year. Where are those prats? Where are you now? Where are you? Let's be having you. Come on, we want your excuses. Where are you? Well, we can't be competitive in the market. We can't buy midfielders because we aren't in Europe and we're paying the price of that. Well, we are in Europe now. We're in the Champions League and we're spending even less. What's your excuse now? Time to, change your opinions on that, I think. But anyway, let's delve into some stuff. Look, first of all, I did tell you on Sunday that we're not signing Ollie Watkins. The Athletic have now caught up and said the same thing. Ollie Watkins unlikely to be coming to Manchester United, not on the agenda, not being looked at, not looking to come to Manchester United. So Ollie Watkins not going to happen. Danny Welbeck was never under consideration by Manchester United as well. I love the way United brief what they're not doing. Because we already know you're not doing anything. So what are you going to do? Try and glaze yourself because you're not signing this player and you're not signing that player. Who are you signing then? Who is the striker that you're signing? Because I tell you what, as clear as day, I can see we're not going to sign a striker. It's so bloody obvious that we're not signing a striker because Mbeumo can play up front. Cunha can play up front. Rashford can play up front. He's like a new signing. So we're all stressing about centre midfield and left back, 4 weeks to go. I just don't see it. I just don't see a striker coming in. But two significant updates this morning. Again, in the Athletic deal sheet that they do every Tuesday, which is a culmination of all their journalists talking, their talk is there again of no third midfielder, of Mason Mount, of other priorities. It's incredible to me. It's incredible to me, and I don't think we should ever stop calling this out. I really do am massively confused by these United fans who back the Glazers, back Ineos, and pretend that everything's okay. I mean, you even get stupid comments like, United have kept everything quiet this summer. They might be working on a massive deal. You know, nobody knows what's going on. You know, people are just getting stressed because they're not getting any information. I actually had somebody DM me the other day saying, you're just being negative because you're not getting any information. I think we've had more information this summer than any information we've ever had. We knew about Tielemans 24 hours before everybody else. We knew about Kone talks 3 days before everybody else. We knew Tchouaméni's deal was off a week before everybody else. We've probably not had a summer this good for information. So what? Why would I be sat here being negative because we're not getting information from the club when we've had our best summer ever? I mean, this is the sort of stupidity that's out there justifying a shit summer. But these are the sort of people that say things like, well, Manchester United, we shouldn't judge Manchester United until the transfer window's over. It's too bloody late then. What, when the window's over and you start moaning about a shit transfer window, what good does that do? They're off on their holidays. If you're not happy with the transfer window, now is the time to speak up. There's no point speaking up in September. There's actually people out there saying, let's be patient. Let's be patient. Like, there's nothing in the cupboards. They've got no money, but I've got a feeling we're having a five-course meal tonight. You're not having a five-course meal. Like, if you don't start putting the pressure on now, the pressure means nothing when the window's over. I genuinely think some of these United fans who think everything's going to be okay, right? If they were married and they came home early from work and they caught their missus at it in all positions with somebody else, they'd silently leave the room, go down the pub, get their mate to come down and say, I don't think she's having an affair. I think she's actually practicing stuff for when we go on our secret holiday that I think she's booked. She's not having an affair. It's just like practicing different positions with somebody else for me for a treat. And the mate's there going, you're a fucking idiot, aren't you, really? It's just like, they're deluded. They're absolutely deluded. I think the reason we haven't signed anybody is because we're posturing and we're keeping it all a big secret. And yeah, I don't think we should moan until the window's closed. It's called preventative measures. When you see a problem, like if you're driving your car and you see a big bloody lorry broken down right across all the lanes, you don't keep driving going, I reckon that lorry's going to move. You slow down and take preventative measures. You don't just carry on with the will of God. Oh, everything's going to be okay. Like, we've had this happen so many times that we have to call it out. We have to call it out. And then if they go and buy two players, we go, well done. There's nothing wrong with calling out a shit transfer window right here, right now. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as you have the ability and respect that if they turn it around, you go, fair play. I would rather go, they're absolutely useless. This is a pathetic transfer window. It's absolutely rubbish. I'd rather say that now, and then if they turn it around, go, well done, than go, I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to keep my moaning in the cupboard until it's too late. I actually think I'm going to pontificate to United fans who maybe care more than me, and I'm going to tell them they should all calm down and we should all wait and see what happens. Glory, glory to be God. Glory to God. Let's all wait and see what happens. Bullshit. Preventative measures. Call it out. That's what I think should happen. And then if they turn it around, they will get the praise they deserve. Absolutely. So anyway, back to the Athletic article. I told you it'd be a good show. Lots of comments coming in already. So basically what they're saying in The Athletic this morning in the deal sheet is that the third midfielder might not happen because of Mason Mount and utilising funds elsewhere. And that the Lewis Hall deal, as much as they like the deal, it's already looking very, very difficult for United to do it because of the price. Two things. Why in August are we figuring out that Lewis Hall is too expensive? Is this just spin? Is this just bullshit? Is this just, we'll try for something we know we can't get? And the best example I can use of this is that I want a PS5 for Christmas, Dad. I want a PS5 for Christmas, Mum. I want a PS5. I want a PS5. And I tell them in September when there's loads of PS5s available, right? No, we can't afford it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Middle of December. Breaking news. Every PS5 on the planet has been sold. You can't get one for love nor money. They have all been sold out. 5 minutes later, your dad walks in and goes, I'm going to try and get you a PS5. I can't make you any promises, but I really want to get you one. I'm going to try and get you one. And you go, oh, good one, Dad. Good one, Dad. Oh, you're the best dad in the world. Because you're too young to realise they've just fucking sold out. He's only saying that because he knows he can't get you one. And I feel that that's the tactic of Man United. And I feel that's the tactic with Lewis Hall. There's nothing wrong with... There's no jeopardy in saying, we want Elliot Anderson when you know you can't get him. There's no jeopardy in saying, you want Tenardi when you know you can't get him. There's no jeopardy in saying, you want Lewis Hall when you can't get him. And again, we've got people in our fan base who will go, well, at least they tried. At least they tried. They tried to get Lewis Hall and he was too expensive. And I think we're already starting to step down that pathway, aren't we? And the second thing I would say as well is, when did this happen? Can somebody pinpoint this or tell me this happened in February or March or April or May or even in June or July? At what point did it become, we might not buy a third midfielder because the money would be better used on a left back? At what point did we come into this summer transfer window having to choose between a third midfielder and a left back? We've signed two players. Are you telling me we're out of money already? Are you telling me that after £80 million of expenditure, £40 million net, we're already out of funds so much that we've got to choose between a midfielder and a left back? I mean, that is a pitiful transfer window if the third signing, we've got to choose between the third and the fourth. Because that's what it reads to me. Man United might not go for a third midfielder because they might want to prioritise the money elsewhere. I don't mind being told we're broke. If we are broke, are we broke? I asked the question, are we broke? I did a video about a month ago and the thumbnail was we're broke. And I got a load of shit for it. We're not broke, we've got millions, right? Are we broke? Because Berard has said we're not. Wilcox has said we're not. Sir Jim Ratcliffe has said we're not. We came into this summer ambitious. David Ornstein thought we were going to be busy. Are we actually broke? And if we are broke, why aren't we putting that? Why are we waiting until the 4 weeks left in the window to tell the fans that? Because I find that preposterous that we might not get a third midfielder because we might prioritise a left back. What? We bought two midfielders and we now might be choosing between a left back and a midfielder. How much money do we actually have? It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. And on the third midfielder as well, I really think it's important to say this. Go back to January, February, March, April. I remember this. I'm sure you remember this. How are we going to get through to the end of the season if we get injuries to Mainoo or Casemiro? We've only got Mainoo, Casemiro and Ugarte. That's all we've got. We've only got Mainoo, Casemiro and Ugarte. We need two more midfielders. We haven't got enough midfielders. So with Mainoo, Ugarte and Casemiro, we needed to sign two players in the midfield. We've now removed Ugarte and Mainoo. We've now removed Ugarte and Casemiro. We've brought in Santos and Tielemans. We still need two midfielders. But United are pretending we need none. You see, this is quick maths. This is a quick history lesson. It's only a few months ago that we had Casemiro, Ugarte and Mainoo and we needed to sign two midfielders. We now don't have Ugarte and Casemiro. We've replaced them. But hello, we still need to buy two midfielders. And don't use the word Mason Mount. Because even if you use Mason Mount, we still need to buy another one. But we can't use Mason Mount because he's always bloody injured. We actually haven't done anything in the midfield. We've replaced Ugarte and Casemiro with Tielemans and Santos. We still actually need two more midfielders. And this is Glazernomics in 4K. There are fans out there that think we've bought two players. We have bought two players who have replaced two players that we already had. Ugarte and Casemiro is Tielemans and Santos. We're actually still down. And yet the conversation is actually happening in front of us. You got Simon Stone in the BBC saying, you've got Athletic talking about it. Man United might not buy another midfielder. We haven't actually bought a midfielder when you think about it. We've replaced Ugarte and Casemiro with Santos and Tielemans. We're still two down. But this is how it works. This is the spin. We've actually bought two players. But when you look at it, we've replaced two players with two players. We haven't actually upscaled the squad at all. There is no increase in numbers at all. And last season's squad played one game a week. We actually needed to increase the numbers by about five. That doesn't mean sell five by five. That means sell five by 10. We've just replaced two with two. We're down in that midfield. We are literally down. We are in no better position than we were in February, whereby if you pick Tielemans and Santos, you've only got Mainoo. We're two midfielders down. We're actually two down, not one down, and they're talking about not getting a third midfielder. I think we will get a third midfielder, by the way, but let's just expose how bloody preposterous it is, because it's a joke. And also, just to talk about Marcus Rashford momentarily, I have a stance on this now, and I want to make it very, very clear. And people will agree with me or disagree with me, but I'm going to stick with this. Bringing Marcus Rashford back to Manchester United is one of the most embarrassing things we've done under the Glazer regime. It is fundamentally embarrassing, and it does need calling out, but not in a hate way. I'm not saying Rashford coming back's embarrassing because Marcus Rashford's shit. It's got nothing to do with Rashford. He'd be at Barcelona if he could, and who can blame him? It's the embarrassment of how bad the football club is that they put in place a wage structure that is preventing us from buying players who want more than 200 grand a week. It is preventing us from buying players over 60 million pounds. So we put this hypocritical floor in place where we won't pay 200 grand a week or more to anybody anymore, and we won't pay over 60 million pounds for anybody anymore. So we put this draconian, rigid, stupid system in place, and then we bring Marcus Rashford back on 325 grand a week, who we've just been celebrating get rid of as part of the new United. For the last 12 months, all we've heard is, we're not going to pay silly wages anymore. Look at what we've done with Rashford. Look at what we've done with Sancho. Look at what we're doing with Casemiro. And then Rashford comes back like a new signing on 325k a week, because he is like a new signing. He's been gone for 18 months. He's off on a new adventure. Rashford's the past. He's on a new adventure. Rashford's expensive. We've moved Rashford out. He's part of the bomb squad. We're going to live off that. Oh, look at what we've done. Wonderful Wilcox. Yeah, look at what I've done, right? The hypocrisy of bringing Rashford back should be lost on nobody. It's not his fault. It's the club. What an absolute joke. What an absolute embarrassment. All summer, we won't pay high wages. All summer, we won't pay high transfer fees. Who's coming back? Our biggest earner. He is now at the top of our wage bill. 325 grand back. Why is he back? Because the club is absolutely useless. They are so contradictory, it's laughable. I think it's embarrassing that Rashford's coming back. And next week, it's the Rashford show. Cameras, interviews, everything, it's the Rashford show. So that's what we've got to look forward to for the next few weeks, is Rashford this, Rashford that, Rashford this, Rashford that. It's embarrassing. And if it does work, and it better bloody work, if it does work and he comes back and starts scoring goals, it's Michael Carrick all over again. It's Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim and Joel Glazer landing on their feet, luckily again. It's not planned. It's just embarrassing how badly they are running the football club. And they're just getting away on vibes. I can't overstate how lucky they were that when they sacked Amorim, Michael Carrick came in and got them third place. Credit to Carrick, but not credit to the board. They just got lucky. But it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You know what? It's almost like they can do whatever they like publicly and people will still applaud it. You cannot tell me that this Rashford plan in any way, shape or form is logical or what they wanted. It's just embarrassing. And our biggest signing is going to be bringing Marcus Rashford back. I feel sorry for him. I mean, he's on 325 grand a week, so maybe we shouldn't. But I do feel sorry for him. I don't think he wants to be back either. But United bringing him back is just, again, another indicator of what a mess it is. And my biggest issue with it is we won't pay these silly wages anymore. We won't pay big transfer fees anymore, but we will bring a player back on the biggest wage. And it's, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, the biggest issue I have is I see people defending the club, but I don't even know if they understand what they're defending. I think they're defending Manchester United because they love Manchester United, but the Glazers and Ineos are not Manchester United. They're business people. You can love Man United like we all do and call out the ownership. I think some people get confused that if they call out the ownership, they're calling out the club. You're not. You're actually defending the club from the evil that is what's gone on for the last 20 years. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'll never get the opportunity to do this, but I'd love to look him in the eye and say, what makes you a Man United fan, Sir Jim Ratcliffe? Because your behaviour is completely and utterly contradictory to being a Man United fan. Every decision you make is business. You don't make decisions about Man United Football Club at all. Anybody who's your age will have witnessed what Sir Alex Ferguson did and how he rebuilt the club. And you are doing completely the opposite. You have followed nothing that he did to rebuild this football club. So how on earth are you a Man United fan? Did you actually watch United, or are you just a United fan? What is it that makes you a Man United fan? Because you don't seem to get it at all. Everything you do makes you a Glazer fan. And everything they do ruins this football club. On the graph of Glazer United fan, you are way over here. So why do you call yourself a United fan? We thought you were going to behave over here, but you're over here. I think he's a businessman. I don't think he's a United fan. I've seen nothing. He doesn't seem to get it at all. Every United fan I speak to wants a left back, wants three midfielders, wants a striker. If he's a United fan, why is he not demanding it? He just doesn't behave like a Man United fan at all. Little bit on Alex Scott. So this was in The Athletic today, but it wasn't even in the Man United section. It was in the Bournemouth and Chelsea section. Alex Scott is a player admired by Chelsea. They have made a bid. However, there's no talk of them going in with a second bid at the moment because Bournemouth maintain that he is not for sale, whether he signs a new contract or not. So Alex Scott, 2 weeks ago, was probably a player that we would have been thinking about. He's not even being mentioned around Man United anymore. It's just completely disappeared off the radar. So, in relation to Alex Scott, there are updates, but it's got nothing to do with Manchester United. I got sent something just before I went live, actually, that Carl Anker, I mean, he doesn't get much right in relation to transfers, to be honest. This is the guy who said we weren't talking to Kone when we were. But he was talking somewhere, saying about Tchouaméni and less than a 60% chance that it... I don't know. It seemed to be if this, if that, then this, then that, blah, blah, blah. The fact that we're talking about Tchouaméni on August the 4th is majorly embarrassing. Now, there is the theory out there that, you know, United's incredible posturing involves waiting to see what everybody else is doing and praying. I mean, if United are waiting on Tchouaméni, the scenario is what I said to you at the weekend. Rodri goes from Man City to Real Madrid. Real Madrid decide to put Tchouaméni up for sale, and then Man United come in and pay 70, 80 million and give him 300 grand a week. Because, you know, Chumini's new contract is rumoured to be somewhere between 15 and 20 million a year. It's a big contract, the new contract for Chumini. So the fact that United, on the 4th of August, are still being linked to Tchouaméni, which we've got no control over at all. We are literally begging it in that scenario that things happen to allow it to happen. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing that we're effectively begging it with Newcastle and potentially with Real Madrid to finish off a window that's been absolutely pathetic. You know what? Going back to Sir Jim Ratcliffe, how does he back this board? How do you spend 2 billion buying Man United and then sit there looking at what's happening, going, I'm really happy with the job they've done? They've sacked two managers in 2 years, costing him 30 million quid. They spent half a billion on those two managers, which is basically wasted money. And now they're presiding over the worst transfer window we've had since David Moyes. How could you sit there and be okay with this? It's crazy. And whilst there is still time left in the window, what is it we're doing? Waiting to see. Because I'll tell you this for free. From the Tchouaméni side, he is not there saying to United, let's get the Rodri deal done and then we'll talk. Real Madrid are not going, let's get the Rodri deal done and you can have Tchouaméni. That's not even happening. What's happening is Tchouaméni is a Real Madrid player. Jose Mourinho likes him. End of story. So what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And look, somebody said the Kone deal was never on. Well, you know, I actually embrace the criticism and the mockery, etc., because I can deal with criticism. It always generates good conversation. Whether Kone's signing for Man United or not, I would still say. I mean, look, can we just have a moment? By the way, I've got some very sad news. Over many previous transfer windows, we used to have something called the Hotometer. It's struggled with health issues this summer. We were very hopeful at the start of the summer that it was going to play a very active part in this summer transfer window for the United stand and all of you. But it almost instantly had health issues, and it did come back a little bit in July, and we were very hopeful that they were over the worst, but I'm sad to say they're dead. The Hotometer has died. And, you know, not a day goes by without me thinking about it. You know, the previous summers we've had, you know, it was thriving so much. It had a cold meter at one point, but there's nothing we could do. There's nothing we could do. It's, and I'm sad to bring you that news, but the Hotometer is dead. And the reason it's dead is because we cannot put seven players on a Hotometer and say they're likely to come to United. Like, if I was to do a Hotometer now, it would be Manu Kone, 5. And that would be it. There is nothing else to discuss. You could put Lewis Hall on there, but I'd put him a 2. You could put Tchouaméni on there or Camavinga on there, but I'd put them at a 1. There's just no prospect of anything. And look, in relation to Manu Kone, to the Pratt in the chat who said it was never happening, believe what you want. I'm not the director of football. I'm not the CEO, and I'm not the one in charge of the money. We factually did have talks with Manu Kone 2-3 weeks ago. We've never gone to Roma to take it to the next stage. And the stages of a transfer are, as you already know, talks with the players, personal team terms agreed, talks with the club, deal done, here we go, hold up the shirt. With Kone, we've never gone past point 2. And point 2 is player wants to come to United. We've never gone to Roma. So you can believe what you like. I would still say that he's the most likely signing in the midfield as of today. But whether it's going to happen or not, you know, I don't know. At this stage, I don't know. Chris Wheeler says that Man United announced new $20 million a year deal with Betway to become the club's new training kit sponsor and exclusive global betting partner. Agreement said to be the biggest standalone training kit or playing shirt sleeve deal in. Well, I feel like that's already been done. I feel like it's been done. I've heard about that Betway sponsor before. That's old news. Harry says that's old. That's old news. I don't know why Chris Wheeler's putting that out today. United love to do this, though, don't they? They like two announcements. They love to announce something twice. But I've definitely heard that one before. But that's only going to wind people up, isn't it? Of course. But look, just a couple of things as well. There are still people out there that think United are doing things quietly. They can't do things quietly. Name a player United could work on quietly. They can't. To every naive United fan who thinks we're keeping things on the quiet, we're not keeping things on the quiet. Because you can't. If you were in for Alex Scott, Bournemouth would leak it because they want other people to come in. If you're in for somebody like Tchouaméni, Real Madrid would leak it because they want other ones. You just can't keep a track. This is the bullshit people put out there to try and... It's the sanctimonious, I'm right, bullshit that you get from the toxic positivity people that irritates people. Because let's wait till the end of the window to have a moan. Why would you wait till the end of the window to moan? The window's closed. Nothing's going to change. You're screaming in the darkness. What a stupid plan that is. I think they're doing deals on the quiet because nobody knew about Santos. They did know about Santos. It was mentioned in January. Tillemans people knew about 24 hours before. I think they're working on quiet deals. What deal could United work on quietly that wouldn't get leaked? There is no deal. There is no deal that we're working on quietly. Absolute bullshit. And the other one, the one that really, 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 really makes me laugh is the people who say, I'm not going to criticise the club for doing something I think we need to do. For the last few years, we've overpaid on people like Pogba and Zlatan and big wages, and look where that got us. So I actually agree that we should go cheap on players now. And they actually sit there and use that as a justification to back the Glazers. They go, I agree that we shouldn't spend big money on big players anymore because we tried that and it didn't work. So I think we should just go cheap now, right? There's a big, big problem with that. It sounds half intelligent, but when you analyse it, it's absolutely stupid. So if Man United spent big on players and big wages for the last 10 years, we should now stop. We should now stop and do it the other way. We should now go cheap. Okay. At what point in history has that ever worked when you want to win a league title? What club in history went, we're not going to spend money on the best players anymore. We're going to spend money on mediocre players and we're going to dominate the league and Europe. It's never happened and it never will happen. It is an incredibly dangerous comment that some of our fans are pushing that has no logic. In fact, I would file it with, we should all criticise Qatar and support Sir Jim Radcliffe because he's going to bring the glory days back and he'll remove the Glazers by 2026. Remember that lie? Can you remember that lie? Can you remember being criticised if you didn't want Sir Jim Radcliffe because he was going to get rid of the Glazers by 2026? Can we just check this calendar here? What year is it? What year are we two-thirds through? 2026? Yeah? Glazers still in control? Yeah? Yeah. The problem with the people who sit there and say, I agree with the Glazers stopping spending money on wages and transfers because we've tried that and it didn't work. The problem with that is twofold. One, if you go out with your dream 10 out of 10 and it ends up being a nightmare, do you then say, I'm not going to look for a 10 out of 10 anymore because it went wrong there? Probably just picked the wrong person, didn't you? Two, tell me a football club in Premier League history that built a Premier League winning side that continued to challenge for Premier League titles by going cheap. You'll never find it. People always use Leicester. Where are Leicester now? In the shittest Premier League season ever, they won the league. Where are they now? You cannot build success being cheap. You cannot sit there and go, I agree with United not spending money anymore because we tried that and it didn't work, so let's go cheap. It's a flawed argument. It's based totally on a theory that's got no evidence behind it. And it's even more exposed when you think about what Liverpool have done in recent years, what Man City have done in recent years, how Arsenal have rebuilt their football club. If you want to follow a pathway to success, you look at what Sir Alex Ferguson did with United. You look at what Blackburn Rovers did. You look at what Chelsea did. You look at what Man City did. You look at what Arsenal have done. And you look at what Liverpool have done. Because they're the only clubs that have really built Premier League winning sides that have hung around and challenged for titles. Like Blackburn challenged for a couple of titles and won one. Liverpool have challenged for a few titles and won two. Arsenal have challenged for the last four titles and won one. Man City, Chelsea, we know. Man United, we won loads of Premier League titles. Every single one of those teams spent money on the best players, spent decent wages on decent players. We've now got owners that are trying to win the league, doing something nobody's ever done, and we've got some fans who want to see this happen. We have some fans who are going, I actually want us to buy loads of players on 100 grand a week and for £40 million. I'm so tired of buying people like Paul Pogba. What I actually want is to bid for Tyler Adams. Yeah, you know what? I did think I wanted Harry Kane, but what I really, really, really want is Liam Delap. I mean, have you ever heard such bollocks in all your life? It's, as I said, I think there are people out there that think loyalty to Manchester United is being loyal to the ownership. They're two very separate things. They're two very, very separate things. And, you know, I often get, and I'm sure you get it as well, I often get this thrown at me. But you've moaned in the past about the silly wages. So why do you want us to pay silly wages? And I'm like, we're operating on different levels here, aren't we? The fact that I have to explain it means I'm wasting oxygen on you. If I've moaned in the past at Alexis Sanchez's wages, it's because Alexis Sanchez never should have been given 400 grand a week. But if you're asking me whether I want to give Tonali 250 grand a week, yes, I bloody do. If I've moaned in the past because we've given Luke Shaw 200 grand a week, that doesn't mean I don't think we should go and give somebody like Mateus Fernandez 200 grand a week. It's context, isn't it? United gave stupid money to stupid players. If you give big money to big players, that's how you're successful. I would love the billion we've spent in the last 10 years to be spent again with somebody who's competent. I don't want to see it spent on Liam Delap. I don't want to see it spent on Jared Branthwaite. That's just shit recruitment. But it's not expensive mistakes. It's mistakes. You can make cheap mistakes. If your recruitment's shit, it doesn't matter whether you're spending £100 million or £40 million. We need best in class. Funnily enough, that was an Ineos buzzword. We need best in class. Best in class is not limited by a 200k a week wage bill. Best in class is not limited by a £60 million transfer fee. Best in class is not recruiting somebody with no experience as a director of football who's been working at Southampton. Best in class is not recruiting a CEO who's never been a CEO and has spent 10 years at Man City playing with a cheat code. We don't, you know, people get locked in on wages and transfer fees. The whole structure of United is not best in class. If you've got someone like Berta at Arsenal, the whole landscape changes at Man United. You can still, you can buy a £40 million player, but they're good. You can buy an £80 million player, but they're good. This is where we've gone wrong for many, many years. And what we're essentially doing at United is applauding burglars. It's like standing outside your house and watching the Glazers take away your car, your piano, your sofa, and replacing it with a go-kart, a deck chair, and applauding it. We're applauding the expensive stuff disappearing from the club, and we're applauding cheap stuff coming in and replace. We're applauding burglars at Man United. Tell me we're not. Tell me we're not. We're not spending big on anything anymore. We're getting rid of expensive things and we're replacing it with cheap things. And we're all going like this. Good. Good. But the money that's being saved, where's that money that... Yeah, this is the hilarious thing. We're removing the prospect of buying expensive things and we're replacing it with cheap things. But the money that we're saving, yeah? The money that we're applauding, where's that money going? Debt. Debt repayments and probably dividends. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the only thing that's angering United fans at the moment is statements like that. The only thing that angers this fan base now is the people who are calling it out. Not the people who've caused this, not the owners. They're being applauded. The people who are being shouted at are the people that are demanding better of this football club. The people who are demanding the standards of this football club are actually being perceived as the enemy, whereas the enemy are being applauded. That's the, you know, I just sit back in astonishment and I actually sit back and go, fair play to the Glazers. How they've manipulated this situation is hilarious. It's hilarious. The only people being shouted at are people like us. The ownership are being applauded. Worst ever summer transfer window since David Moyes. Michael Carrick has had a spend of £40 million net. Biggest manager in the league. Biggest club in the league. £40 million net spend. Less than Ipswich. Less than fucking Ipswich. you know? And people are applauding it. Yes, take my Ferrari and replace it with a go-kart. What are you going to do with the profit? Spend it on yourself. You know what? Charity. Yeah, I love it. Take my big TV screen. Take it and replace it with a picture. I'll be happy with that. We're applauding bullshit. And look, there is still time in the window. Of course there's still time in the window. Hopefully we'll still do something in the window. But I'll applaud it if they do. I'm not going to give them, let's wait until... I find it preposterous. Let's wait until the window's closed before we moan. No, let's moan now while there's time for them to actually respond and do something. You know what? Putting pressure on the board might actually make them realise we're not happy. You know? Having Maguire 7 years later ain't best in class, says Dial. Calling Scott a £40 million player while splashing £50 million on Santas is football's version of rules for thee, not for me. Go and bid for Tyler Adams, says Arsenal. Mark, thank you for your integrity. Never stop calling out the crap. Never stop being you. Thank you, Chris. We should stop going to good restaurants because I got food poisoning once. From now on, it's strictly McDonald's and Burger King. Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have thought of a better analogy. Exactly. Yeah? Spot on. Let's not go on an expensive holiday anymore because when I got off the plane, I fell down the steps and I broke my leg. Let's just go to Skegness. The logic is flawed on every level. Let's not do something expensive anymore because something bad happened and I don't, you know, it's strange. I heard United logic is Santos is cheaper than Scott Fernandez, but if he played for West Ham or Bournemouth, he'd be their best player. Cheap, cheap, says Sean Turner. Hi, Mark. I hate this ownership. Is it not possible for you to start a movement to get as many people as possible to get these twats out of the club to actually make a difference? If not, why? No, look, daily reminder official. I read a lot of the comments yesterday. You're not on your own. A lot of people saying, well, you're moaning and you don't do anything, which is a complete load of bollocks. We've supported and contributed financially to loads of protests over the years and will continue to do so. And the 58 do a great job and, you know, the Red Army and everybody, they do a great job. And I would never sit here and say, well, we can do a better job than them because we can't. Like they have tried and they do a good job. The truth is when you speak to anybody involved in protests, they know that a protest is just a public statement of dissatisfaction. It is not going to remove the owners from the football club and nobody believes protests will. Protests are just literally, we're not happy. What jeopardizes the ownership is anything to do with financial. So if somebody comes in who has the money to remove them, then groups like that can really go to town on protests and really organize things. So basically, if somebody stepped forward publicly and said, I have the money to buy Man United, I will take us back to the top and I will do everything to get hold of that football club, it's a hostile takeover. You could then get the Red Army, the 58, Manchester United Supporters Trust, groups like this who go, look, we're not going to stop until we get them out. We don't have that. That's the problem when you speak to anybody. There is nobody there to do that. So we are stuck with what we've got. Protests are great in the sense that they do show that the fans aren't happy. But if there's no viable other option, it hurts. It does hurt. I've just seen something here about, I've seen a lot of this, by the way. When United aren't in the Champions League, look at what they do. When they are in the Champions League, look at what they do. This is United Bart on X. No Champions League signings. So United didn't have Champions League. They signed Di Maria, Zlatan, Pogba, Bruno, Casemiro, Martinez, Cunha, Yoro, De Ligt. With Champions League, Amrabat, Rasmus, Mount, Lee Grant, Anana, Reguilon, Dalot, Fred, Santos, Dan James. I mean, look, I haven't scrutinised that massively, but that does not make good reading, does it? Because that's a theme. When we have Champions League football, we don't spend. When we don't have Champions League football, we do spend. Shocking, really, if true. Don't see us making top four. Arsenal look strong. City are good. And Chelsea and Spurs are better. Europe and our current squad, we don't have the depth, says Harry. The danger with Spurs and Chelsea, and maybe Newcastle, is if they have good summers and they're only playing one game a week, they could get third place how we got third place. We never would have got top five if we'd been playing in Europe. We wouldn't have done it. That's the danger with them. If they assemble good enough teams to play well once a week, we will see what will happen between Christmas and May, because that's what happened to us. They told us last year keeping the squad tight on numbers due to European football, and the two we got in only replaced Casemiro and Ugarte. Look, Danny, you make a great point. We were told last summer we're not spending big because we're not in Europe and we don't need a big squad. We are in Europe and we've replaced two players with two players. We haven't increased the squad at all. The squad is the same as last year. We are going into this season with a non-European squad. This squad in numbers is exactly the same as last year, apart from Rashford coming back, actually. So Rashford's come back, but Casemiro and Ugarte are out. Tielemans and Santos are in. I'm trying to think if anyone else has left. I mean, it's just not. It's not good. I have a bad feeling that the transfer window is now closed. I'm sure we will sign players, Badis, but what they'll be, I don't know. Summer monitoring, 31st of August, happy with the squad. Carrick's already said he's happy with the squad. I mean, I don't want to repeat myself, but Michael Carrick is the perfect manager for Manchester United because he will say exactly what they want. They never could have appointed Tuchel or Enrique or Emery. Imagine, we just couldn't have appointed a decent manager this summer. They would not have put up with this. They wouldn't have took the job. If I'm Emery or I'm Enrique or I'm any decent manager, when I talk to Man United, I'm going to say, I want it in the contract. I want a minimum of five players with a £200 million spend. Carrick's not even had 50. Bring back Sancho for 5K, says Keel Robinson. I'm very positive about this window, says Sarvesh. Team may perform crap. Carrick may get sacked. They've been processed and Glazers fuck off. Anyone who calls me negative for this is just a Glazer rider. It's like a new signing, Mark. Glinios out, says Mrs. Stone. When this transfer window started, I said we wouldn't buy any additional signings. We'd replace what we lost. We haven't even replaced Rasmus, says Craig Smith. Amrim got rid of shit culture. Glinios are bringing it back, says Seth. Can you predict what transfers we'll end up with, says Christopher. Look, I'll never stop calling the club out for what it's doing. It's publicly sinking us. Like, I don't think that's up for debate. Everywhere you look, it's not speculation, it's fact. But I still believe we'll sign two players. I still believe we'll sign a midfielder and a left back. Now, I might be completely and utterly naive, but for our own mental health, I can't do another year out of Europe. So we better sign two players, because if we don't sign at least two players from where we are now, we won't be in Europe this time next year. And I don't think I can face another year of that. I just can't do another year of no European football. I pity Spurs and Chelsea. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible now. It's more horrible than it's ever been because the Champions League is so big. It's depressing playing one game a week. The signings are the friends we made along the way, says Carlo. As Mark predicted, Rashford outlived Amorim, says Ellie. Did I predict that? Fucking hell. Constantine says, from my perspective, they seem scared to pull the trigger. They need someone to apply pressure from the top, but they've gotten rid of anyone who disagrees with their super conservative line of thinking. Chris Martin in your garden, it was all yellow, says Boogie. If we don't get a third midfielder, we're fucked, says Shady. How dare you not be satisfied by mediocrity, says Charger. Patrick Lynch says, using MM as the Mason Mount as the third centre midfielder is the type of compromise a mid-table team makes. Either we're broke, incompetent, or for some reason they don't want to back the project they've built. Questions need answering. It's a great point again, Patrick, because I do think that when you look at it, so much of what we do is based on, for businessmen, it's really bad, actually. So much of what we do is based on rolling a six. I call it rolling a six. If your life depends on it and you've got a six-sided dice, and if you don't roll a six, your life's over. There'll be somebody in the room that can roll three sixes in a row. You can roll a six and you can roll three sixes in a row. I think United's strategy is to roll a six. If you think about it, Amrim got sacked. They didn't know whether they wanted Solskjaer or Carrick. That's how badly we are run. We didn't even know we wanted Carrick. In fact, the rumour was we were going to go for Solskjaer, but the public reaction was so bad, they went for Carrick. So they rolled a six with Carrick. They didn't even know whether they wanted him. And he got him third place. That wasn't strategic. That was rolling a six. Marcus Rashford, if he comes back, they don't want him back. They don't want to pay the wages. But if he does really well and wins player of the year, they'll claim it. But they rolled a six. It's luck. It's not strategic. And Mason Mount is another rolling a six, Patrick. He is about as useful as a cardboard canoe, as I said last night. But maybe, miraculously, that cardboard canoe, although it gets really wet, it keeps its structure and it makes it to the end of the season. It's rolling a six again. There's too many things about this board where you look at it and go, this could go really wrong. But if they roll a six, they'll get away with it. It's not strategic. It's luck. And they might get away with it. They might get away with it with Mount. But strategically, it doesn't look like a good idea. All roads, my man. All roads, says Keel. Open the book, Ineos. We don't believe you, says Mrs. Stone. Ineos are $18 billion in debt. Nice, Lausanne, Ineos, Grenadiers failing. What pedigree does Ineos have that inspires such toxic positivity and loyalty? Says Adam Long. Look, I think Simon Jordan does speak a load of shit, but sometimes he does speak sense. He said, when Ineos came in, what is their pedigree in football or sport? Why would this work? And it always resonates with me because it's true. What is it about a bunch of people that have no track record in football that makes you think they're going to do well in football? Mrs. Stone says, I'm convinced they're stealing from us now. Favel's recruitment looks poor. His only signing is Sesko and his Red Bull network hasn't produced any cheap quality unknown players, says Philip. I know you don't watch the women's team, but please, the Athletic article on them, you'll be so angry. Larry, I did mean to mention this yesterday. It was just because other things happened. It was on my list. So Mark Skinner left as the women's team coach yesterday. Basically, he left because he called out the lack of expenditure and part ways, sack, whatever. But the big issue was a lack of investment into the women's football team. And you can say, well, it's only women's football, but Manchester United's women's team has won trophies, has been near the top of the league, but they're not getting the investment to kick on. So, you know, is it any different to the men's team? It's the same organisation. Daniel Thompson says, hope you're well. It's shameful what's happening. We need Champions League every season, yet by not investing this season when we're in Champions League, it will cost us if we don't get it. You know what, Daniel? I saw a tweet last night where a United fan, well, I don't know why I did that because they are a United fan. I'm not saying they're not. But they were basically saying, I don't know what United fans are moaning about. I've looked at everybody else's squad and I still think we'll comfortably get top five. And I felt like going, fucking great. So we shouldn't moan because you've looked at the squads and you think we're still going to get top five. Well, you know what? Why didn't you say? Why didn't you say that? Oh, it doesn't matter then. It doesn't matter. You see, I thought we were Manchester United. I thought the plan was to try and win the league. I thought when we finished third, we'd try and finish second or first. But I've got it wrong. No, everyone else hasn't spent that much. So we should still get fifth. Great. Okay. But is that not proof? There are United fans with that mentality. What's everybody moaning about? I still think we'll get top five. Oh, great. Great. Well, I hope I never fall to that level. I hope I never fall to the level where I start a season going, what are you moaning about? We might get fifth. I still cling on to, we are the Bayern Munich of England. We are the Real Madrid of England. You know, we are the PSG of England. I still cling on to, we are the biggest club in England and we should be challenging for titles every year. I know that seems preposterous, but that's the standard I still cling on to. I'm confused. We got 100 million by qualifying for the Champions League, says Mrs. Stone, and we have a net spend of 40 million. What am I missing? Did they pocket the extra, get someone? Well, look, they've got to fund the debt. They've got to foot the debt interest. They've got to fund a new stadium. Maybe we're starting to see the reality of what a lot of us predicted. They'll be happy with Europa League every year and a low spend. Despite how bad, do you think Woodward and Murta would be on a 7 or 8 ninth midfielder? They got desperate but never fell this far down the list, says Hobson. Look, I'm not going to ever sit here and say I think Murta's better than Wilcox or I think Woodward's better than Arnold or Berarda. I mean, I think we're talking about different shades of shit here. What we should be talking about is best in class. Whether we would have spent money under Woodward, probably, but it was still shit. Look, you can have all the money in the world and spend it badly. You can have no money and not have a good window. What we should have is the money and best-in-class recruitment, and we don't have any of them things. Just wait, PSG are going to thrash us and we'll buy players to Stretford Signal. I don't think PSG will smash us, actually. I think this pre-season has worked out very well for Manchester United because we are playing on paper good teams, but in reality, they're not. Like PSG, I don't know whether PSG have played any pre-season games at all, actually. They haven't played a pre-season game at all. Their first one is tomorrow. So we're going to play a PSG side that's got that's played no pre-season games and is missing half of its team. So we'll probably beat them, and then people will go, we've beaten PSG. We don't need any signings. Betway announced his new brand partner, says Moja. It has been mentioned, but we'd already heard of this before. So I get that, says Daily Reminder Official, but where's the ambition to actually force them out instead of just protesting? Real pressure could attract new buyers. Unfortunately, Daily Reminder Official, I have spoken to a few multimillionaires, but there's a big difference between being a multimillionaire and being a billionaire. And we need a billionaire. Marlowe says, they say we have four players for two positions in the midfield, but they seem to forget that the only cover we have at six is a prospect from Chelsea. Is it fair to put that amount of pressure on Santos? Well, you know what, Marlowe? We haven't replaced Casemiro. I don't think Santos is Casemiro. Like, I never thought he was Casemiro. He can put a tackle in and he's good on the ball, but I don't think he's a defensive monster. I don't think that's what Santos is. I think Santos is a cultured deeper lying midfielder, but I don't think we've got, like, and even if he's the only one. Like, if you're playing away to PSG in the Champions League in November and you're under the cosh and Santos is the one putting the work in because Tielemans and Nainu aren't really that guy, and then Santos is exhausted after an hour and says, I'm gonna have to come off, and then he comes off, who's gonna come on and be that defensive beast? We ain't got anyone. Mason Mount can do a job. He's not that type of player, is he? When was the last time we had a deal lined up before the window opened? The lack of plan and execution in the market is the most frustrating, says CSKS. There was something I was going to say about that. I think when you don't do business in January, you expect to have a plan for the summer. We don't do business in January and then we don't have a plan for the summer, which is weird to me. And I'll tell you what's also weird as well. How is our net spend £40 million when we'd spent £200 last summer and were willing to spend £60 on Baleba? So that £60 didn't get spent. And then in January, that £60 was there again to be spent on Semenyo and it didn't get spent. So what you're telling me is we had £60 to spend on Baleba a year ago. We had £60 to spend on Semenyo in January. And that same £60 million still has £20 million left. Where's the summer budget? Oh, that's a mic drop no one's going to like, isn't it? Don't put that out there. Oh my God, why is that out there? Oh, he's done it. He's solved it, hasn't he? Yeah. Where's the summer budget? Because a year ago, we'd already spent the £200 million and we had £60 for Baleba and we didn't spend it. And in January, we were willing to spend £60 on Semenyo and we didn't spend it. We've spent £40 net in the summer transfer window. That means there's still £20 left from the January budget. Where's the fucking summer budget? Where's all the money gone? And this is the problem with United. They can't lie straight in bed. They expose themselves to their incompetence and hypocrisy in 4K. Like, we literally had £60 for Semenyo in January and we've spent £40 net. Where's the bloody money? Where's the summer budget gone? Where is it? Now, look, we might see it in the next 4 weeks. Hopefully we will. But where is it? Where's it gone? Stadium? Debt? Don't know. Do you rate the Irish guy's content, says Rays? I don't really watch it. I haven't really watched it for a long time, but I do like him. Won't surprise me if Glenios used some of the seats from Old Trafford at the new stadium to save some cash. They're disgustingly cheap, says Sunrise's Army. What level involvement would you like regarding JJ, says Rajaf. Look, I think with JJ, let's use the word Thwaites as well. I want to see them training with the first team every week. I'd like to see them getting some minutes in the Carabao Cup and maybe in the Champions League if we get qualified early. I think in the Premier League, you know, those points really do matter. So I'm not like, you know, if we're winning a game 3-0 with 20 minutes to go, let's get them on. I'd like to see them on the bench more. I think Lacey, I want to see starting. I want to, not every week, but I want to see Lacey pushing for a starting place. I want to see JJ and Thwaites. This is the season where we get them some minutes, integration. And, you know, a season goes very, very quickly, but I want to see them involved. I see as starters, I think that's a little bit, you know, even Dowman's not a starter for Arsenal. Carrick's on a hiding to nothing, mid-table at Christmas, says Jim. Happy 5 years as a member, says Paul. One thing I've noticed is that the decline in the club has been slow but consistent. They have moulded the fans slowly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Paul. It's, what do people say? Death by a thousand cuts. It's like being hit with a paper cut every day. Eventually, it's going to take your leg off. But, you know, you probably only feel a sting. It is public. It is a public drowning of the club. And people are applauding from the side of the pool. It's factually worse year on year on year on year, everywhere. The only saving grace is Carrick got his Champions League football. And then what's his reward? Whenever I see a Pratt posting some toxic positivity, like praising the owners, I post this post is sponsored by Glazers and move on, says Amin. Yeah, well, you know. Look, it's all about opinion, but I think that, as I said, the people who say let's wait till the window's over before we moan, it's too late. The people who say that we're posturing and hiding deals away, how would that even work? The people who say that we shouldn't spend money like we have done in the last 10 years and we should go cheap. Why? Why? It's like somebody said there, if you go to a nice restaurant and you get food poisoning, does that mean you stop going to nice restaurants? It's preposterous. And also, tell us the blueprint of paying cheap wages and transfers and consistently fighting for titles. Did Arsenal fight for the last four titles by paying cheap wages and cheap transfers? Did Man City build a dynasty by paying cheap wages and transfers? Did Liverpool bounce back and rebuild their football club by paying cheap transfers and cheap wages? Look, if you want a one-year Leicester, maybe if there's a really shit season in the next 5 years, we might win the league. But Leicester cannot be... We're Manchester United. We're not fucking Leicester. And look at where Leicester are now. Take Leicester out your mouth. Absolute bullshit. Every decent team that's won the Premier League has done it spending money. And apparently we're now not going to do that. Could see that Sander Berg news coming from a mile off. What the fuck are you talking about? Do not do that. That's got to be chat like winding me up. I can't see anything about Sander Berg. No, there's been nothing about Sander Berg in the last hour. You absolute twats. Absolute twats. No, I knew it wasn't Sander Berg, here we go, but I was thinking it might be Sander Berg talks. Trolls, yeah. Okay, why the women's head coach left shows Carrick is a yes man. The fact we can't invest in both teams properly shows we're broke. Owners need to go, says Ross McRae Magician. And Razzler says it will only get worse under Glenios. The stadium is only there to boost the value for the club and it might be difficult for anyone to buy the club. Yeah, I mean, they're there to line their own pockets, aren't they? That's what they're there to do. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Apologies for the morning show. Obviously, we had a prop. It's nearly bloody midday. I normally finish at 11 o'clock. It's nearly midday. We're live outside Old Trafford at 2 o'clock, which is always a good show, and I'm sure they'll have the audio sorted for them. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you take care. Stay safe. We are live outside at Old Trafford at 2 o'clock. Obviously, we've got the normal 8 o'clock show as well. Have a great day. I'll speak to you in a bit. Take care.